Welcome to Doctorate, the podcast of PhD candidates in the humanities and the social sciences at the University of Vienna.
This is the place for communication and discussion about issues surrounding us in the world of science. We address the whats, whys, and hows of our work and invite researchers from different disciplines to explore topics and ideas they and we deeply care about.
Hello, welcome everyone to the episode of 14 of Doctorate. I'm Aditya Darmon Sudagung, and together with Penelope Fatwell, we'll be hosting you today in our talk, and we are gladly welcome our two magnificent guests, Nyamadzao Sibanda from the Department of Development Studies, and we also have Emily Kate-Ganowski from the Department of History. Mac is doing his PhD on return migrations in South Africa, while Emily is doing her project on open source intelligence in academia, both coming from abroad and find Vienna for the destination of pursuing their academic career. Well, we know doing PhD while doing work is probably a challenging task for both of them. And today we'll talk of them how do they cope with all these struggles, mostly on how they find their support system.
So I suppose we should open with what made you choose to study your PhD at the University of Vienna?
Coming to Vienna was really part of a long journey that started with moving from Zimbabwe home, going to South Africa, you know, to try and better my life, basically. Then while I was there, I ended up in the Department of Development Studies because of, you know, opportunities. Everyone was saying there's opportunities there. So from there, I continuously wanted to capacitate myself. And then in 2017, I found myself in Belgium doing a master's specializing in monitoring and evaluation. And then I liked the academic system there. So when I went back to South Africa, I always wanted then to further my studies, maybe to have a more extended period in Europe. So I started looking in the website for possible PhD positions until I landed with Advert from VIDS, Doctoral School for Social Sciences here. And then, yeah, that's how I came here.
That's a beautiful story. Now the pressure's on. I had done my bachelor's degree, my master's degree in America, where I'm from, and I knew that I wanted to move somewhere in the EU. I knew that I wanted to do my PhD at some point. I had been working in New York for a while. I stopped that, and then I was traveling for a bit, and then COVID hit. And I started thinking about what's my next step and what's going to happen when the world opens back up again. Where am I going to find myself? I looked online and I wanted to see, you know, what opportunities were out there, what places had digital humanities programs that were really strong, and what places spoke English. And, you know, Vienna is so international, and it's a mecca of culture and just an incredible quality of life that you are, you know, fortunate enough to enjoy here. And I ended up speaking with a few different advisors, and I landed on mine. And she is also an American, so that made me feel very comfy right away. And then I ended up moving here, and it was really lovely. And I'm now a couple years in.
Do you know anyone before coming here, both Emily or Max? Emily, maybe first.
I did, yeah, absolutely. So my sister actually had a roommate from her education years, and she had a roommate that she had lived with and stayed very, very close with, traveled with, visited all the time, and I had, of course, met her as well and come here actually to visit her before I ended up moving here. And she really, you know, took me under her wing, and she looked out for me, got me from the airport, and, you know, helped me furnish my place and find my place and get my phone plan set up and my Wi-Fi and everything and health insurance and all the, you know, fabulous things of life. And she was incredibly helpful. So I'd say that was my, like, she's my rock sort of here, and what made me feel very safe and comfortable in transitioning from living, you know, a stone's throw away from my entire family to moving halfway across the world?
Yeah, for me, short answer, no. Long answer, not at all. So I didn't know anyone here in Vienna. I didn't even know much about Austria. Even when I was in Belgium, I didn't really know much. I knew a lot about Germany. Contemplated on going to Germany a couple of times. But Austria, Vienna, I didn't. So when I started engaging this possibility that I found online, then I went on YouTube, tried to find as much as I can about this place, and also tried to locate some people, probably from South Africa or from Zimbabwe. I met a couple of people, but yeah, couldn't stick. I tried to contact them, but yeah. So when I arrived here, really, I didn't know anyone at all. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That must have been very daunting.
Yes, it was. It was, yeah. Were it not for the support that I got from my department, and yeah. But it was really challenging from that point, yeah.
So I suppose, you know, being away so far away from home for both of you, you know, how does that affect the support that you needed both when you arrived and being here subsequently?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I have a little piece of home with me, and I sort of have like fairy godmother here as sort of second sister. My family and I are super close, so we talk all the time on the phone. And, you know, whether it's not usually about sort of the nitty gritty of what I'm studying, but sort of, you know, venting and ranting about bureaucracy or things that I have to do or things that went wrong. But I do think that there is something nice about it. I mean, even just something as simple as the time difference can sometimes be, you know, a little bit of a challenge. I always think about like, okay, it's around, you know, 5 p.m. Okay, now I can actually like reach out and do something. And so I do think that that technology has definitely enabled me to definitely feel like my support system is a little bit closer than it actually is. And I also think that it made me reach out and build more here, because I think when I was in undergrad, I used to go home every weekend, and my mom did my laundry at home, and I would bring my laundry from my dorm room home. Like, I was, you know, looking forward to home-cooked meals and things like that. And when you don't have that net, you have to make it for yourself. And I think that's been a really powerful experience for me this time around, because, I mean, from here to LA, I'm not going back for home-cooked meals and laundry. So it's definitely a really interesting step to move really far away and then find yourself in need of support, because you can move far away and not be doing something where you really do need support. But in this sort of process, I have had to, you know, start from this sort of nucleus of someone that I did know and then build around that. And I think that it definitely sort of urged me in the direction of working on conscientiously building my own support system here.
I had a lot of areas in which I really needed support because of coming, you know, that far. I actually had a lot of experience staying alone from Zim. I moved to South Africa for about 15 years. The greater part of that I was alone, but I managed to build a network around myself, especially colleagues that I was studying and later on working with. When I went to Belgium, well, among the students, but staying away from the family, I had the experience of that. Yeah, but then coming here, one of the major issues really was the language, because I realized that I needed the language to find accommodation. I needed the language to navigate my way around. I mean, yeah. So for finding accommodation, really, I had to end up reaching out to the department, to the admin staff there, to assist with the translations, but also eventually really substantively to assist in finding accommodation. And also I realized that I have to pay three times the deposit, you know, something that I was not really prepared for. Yeah, so I realized that I needed support in those kind of areas, the language, but also really understanding the system, how the system works. So I realized that, yeah, opening a bank account, booking appointments would be really a places where I need a lot of support, yeah.
It's also like you have to do everything in person here, especially if you don't have the language, because it's in the States, so much of what everything we just discussed is just done online. And it's so simple. When you're online, you can use a translator, you can do things on your own time, you can bring your computer to a friend and get help. And here, there's so much that has to be done in person. And there's almost this confusion between, okay, in order to have an apartment, you need to have a bank account. In order to have a bank account, you need to have an address. In order to have an address, you need to have, and it just goes back and forth. And I think that it's very, very difficult also because in daily life, in day-to-day life in terms of making connections, talking with people and getting through, I haven't found the need for German. And it's sort of like a point of, you know, a little bit of a pressure point, like, okay, still haven't learned it. I haven't learned it. It's so American. But in these sort of more bureaucratic things, and these more sort of like official things, you need it. And so I think being able to either have a support system, have a friend, have a colleague who's able to help you is huge. And little things like I have a package at some DHL, you know, office in this city, and I don't know which one, and I need to go through a phone tree that's in German to get there. You know, little tiny things that sometimes you find yourself thinking, oh my goodness, how do I do this? Yeah. I have no idea.
And it's like the quite technical parts of language as well. Mm-hmm. It's not the everyday that you learn. It's like the bureaucratic language. Mm-hmm. It's the technical stuff as well. So that's an extra layer of
absolutely
ability that you need.
It's tough.
So could either of you speak German before you came?
You still can.
For me, no, not at all. Of course, I tried YouTube to learn before I came. Tried also to start on Duolingo.
Yeah, but
me too. I couldn't.
I'm a Duolingo fail out. But yeah, I mean, I definitely tried, but I think that I was shocked by, so I have moved somewhere before and learned the language. So I moved to Stockholm when I was younger, and I learned Swedish, and it was very, very simple for me to learn. I picked it up, and all of my friends spoke Swedish and English sort of interchangeably. It's a very like dual language city. And everything is written in Swedish and English in all places. Everything is said in Swedish and English, and it's very, very simple to catch on to. And here, there's so much more English, I feel like, than there is German in so many interactions that I have that I think I thought I did. I downloaded Duolingo, like everyone, I did. I looked online. I looked to try to take classes. I actually signed up for a class. And I aside from these sort of very specific, very technical aspects, there's such little German actually there, which is like I said, one of the reasons why I did choose it. But the language thing is a very, I think, Vienna-specific situation. It's such an international place. I mean, all of us from different places.
Mm, absolutely. Very true. Very true.
We're talking about social relations. In this case, who do you think give the most effect to your PhD or your daily life? Okay. The social support system.
Yeah.
Either friends, colleagues, partners.
Like, what's the most important, most influential?
I mean, okay. I'm happy to share about my friend. It's your object.
Yeah,
please introduce your object.
Share your object, guys. I brought in a little teeny tiny can of Japanese green tea powder, matcha, and I brought it in because I made a friend very early on here. And she's here in Vienna. She's actually American as well, but she's here in Vienna and she's been here for a very long time. And she works at UNIDO, at the United Nations. And she also sort of works at the intersection of technology and humanities. And we just became very, very fast best friends. And every Saturday we go for matcha together. And every Saturday we sort of talk about our week and we talk about, you know, what we've been through and what we're working on and what we're looking forward to working on or dreading or issues that we're having with a boss, with, you know, our workflow, with anything, with technology. One time she was locked out of like her email, you know, like just we talk about things. And it's so nice to feel like somebody keeps up with the minutiae of your daily life and cares and also is going through things at the same time. And, you know, we've had so many conversations about, you know, what it's like to be from abroad here, what it's like to work in a large, you know, institution, whether it's a university or the United Nations, what it's like to work at the intersection of tech and have all these different deliverables to different people. So that, you know, this is my little representation of my best friend, Bridget, and my, I would say my probably number one sort of day-to-day support system here. And yeah, it's been very powerful and very grounding to have somebody that I can talk to and talk with about the little things. I think it helps quite a lot.
And what about you, Max?
All the extracurricular help that I've gotten, it has been through people that are related to the department. So that's basically what I can say. I've been trying to build the social support outside of the university, of the workspace, but it hasn't been very successful.
If I may ask, what's the difficulties of making those social relations in your case that you told us that's not really successful?
Really, I don't know what's the difficulty, but I've gone out there. Maybe let's say specific about socializing, you know, going out, having drinks and whatnot. I remember when I arrived, I was staying at the student house. So I had these colleagues that I was sharing the house with, two guys, one from China, I think, another one from Moldova. They were doing their masters and cool guys. But they had their own lives, they had their own social networks, they had their own pastime interests, weekend arrangements, some were traveling outside of the, you know, country and stuff. So we never really had any, even if I tried to reach out and say, oh guys, let's plan, you know, weekend, let's go this, the other thing, I didn't even know where to go. So I needed them to guide me to go somewhere. Yeah, so that did not work out. I don't really go to church because my supervisor was talking about sometimes her previous students that were also from Africa, they found networks in churches. I don't go to church, so I didn't find network there. But I'll go to a bar, for example. I'll just, you know, try and greet people there. But I felt like that was as far as I could go. There was no real willingness to engage further than that because people did not know me, I guess. And And then from work, I had colleagues, obviously, that from time to time will go out, you know, at a restaurant or go drink. Some will invite me to their own places, their own networks, friends and stuff. That was as far as it went. And it was very helpful. Right. But like I said, it was all connected then to my work, to the department.
So now we can move on to the object because you mentioned that the object is related to the department, right?
We are.
Yeah.
We want to know.
We're going to get it out.
Okay, in terms of institutional support, then.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. In terms of institutional support, for me, I've had really what I would call a wraparound support, right? So, like I said, as soon as I got my interview confirmed and my position confirmed, then I had someone from the institute that supported me, really outside of the scope, I think, of even of their work, trying to give me links about accommodation, links about this, links about flights, links about where to go in South Africa to get the permit, you know. So, and also looking for links from previous students that were in the department that they thought might know, you know. So that until I arrived here. And then when I arrived here, I was also given someone who was helping me booking the for residence permit application, opening a bank account, and yeah, and all the social kind of support system, but also all the registration issues into my PhD at the university. Maybe the other thing I should mention at this point is that when I came here, I came here because I was coming for the PhD, but I was also on a student, is it university assistant job, pre-doc job. So I'm employed at the university, at the Department of Development Studies. So there was the job thing that I needed assistance with, you know, all the German letters that I received. And then there was the academic thing that I needed, you know, the libraries, the UCADs and other things. Yeah. So the way I agonized about the object, about how to really think about this support. But like I said, it's a wraparound support. So my object is a belt, like, that I have brought. You know, so I was saying I brought it because, I mean, I always wear my belt with me. But for me, it symbolizes the type of support that I received, that obviously, it helps my trousers, for example, you know, keep in place. But it, at some point, my trousers, even if they fit well, I wear it just as cosmetic. So it's like the support. It has been very substantive where I really needed it. But even sometimes where I feel like, okay, I can find my way, I know it's always there, even if I don't always see it. It's there. To ensure me, to guarantee me that, okay, we're there for you, you know. So I've had this kind of guarantee from the department, yeah.
That's a very interesting piece of imagery. Yeah. None of us guessed that right. But I suppose, you know, what about institutional support that you found useful?
You know, I have really found the institutional support to be incredibly important for me, not in terms of necessarily logistics or funding, but specifically in getting involved in the university. I think as an American who had a very typical American experience in my undergrad and my graduate work or my studies, being involved is very important to us. It's very important. It's very natural to feel involved. And I think for a while, I didn't tap into that. I didn't know how to tap into that. And I was lucky enough to be introduced to Martina Steer. And she was so kind and she was so thoughtful in terms of reaching out and letting me know about activities or workshops or things to get involved in, like the podcast, and things that would definitely fit, you know, with my strengths, fit with my comfort level, and get me involved, get me out there, get me meeting people and really feeling like part of the university. And that was so missing for me until Martina really, you know, held out her hand and helped me and really gave these great suggestions, was so welcoming. I've had a few people at the university who have done that. Dr. Thomas Balnick as well has really helped with sort of getting involved in different AI discussions at the university as well. That's what I teach, artificial intelligence and large language models in humanities research. And it's such a hot button issue and it's so exciting to talk about. So knowing when people know what you are interested in, I think they go above and beyond here to really help you get involved. And that's been something that's been very transformative for me in terms of feeling really settled, really secure at the university. It's just something that I'm very used to already having. And here, it was definitely something that I needed a bit of help. I needed help getting tapped in. I did not feel an immediate connection. I don't know if it was a language thing. I don't know if it was a PhD thing because I mentioned earlier, I when I first came here, you know, we talk about the residency permits and all the things you have to do. And I was filling out all of my things. It took me 18 months and it was a nightmare. And I ended up coming here with an acceptance to a master's program. I already had completed my master's program in the States, but for all of the different paperwork that I was doing, it was just simpler to do it that way. And I did one semester of a master's program, and that had a very secure feel. You were in classes, you had the same people around you, you had instructors who, you know, were dealing with many, many students, but they all knew what role you had at the university. It was very clearly defined, and it was very comfortable and something I was used to. And then being in the PhD program, it was like flying off into space. And it just, for such a long time, I feel like for a whole year, I just did not feel connected. And it was all of these different things that are going on at the university, whether it's like a speech contest or helping out at the podcast or doing the FUP workshop, you know, to get all of your, you know, your documents and your presentations prepared and things like that. Helped so much. I also sort of do a bunch of little odd jobs around the department as well. And that really helps as well because, you know, you have to be there. You have to go to the meetings and pay attention and really understand what's going on, who's doing what. And that helps. And I was missing that. So I would say it was an incredible grounding moment to get more involved in the institutional things like that.
Yeah, I do agree on that experience. Also, when I first came here, also the FITs welcomed me very well. There's a lot of information. Even they prepare us to present something that I never had during my bachelor or master. And I think it's very helpful support systems in terms of institutional. Especially when we're doing our PhD, sometimes we feel lonely, feel alone in the papers. Yeah. In all of the literatures.
Yeah, yeah. It can be quite an isolating experience just because also we're all doing very individual projects anyway, like it's very individual research. So even just the nature of it can be quite isolating. But it sounds like for both of you that what was really important was more sort of like daily life, minutiae, trying to get connections. So on a daily basis was maybe more important for you in terms of support systems than academic, or do you say they're different and you're just because we're talking more socially now that's why we're focusing on that now, or you know, is there a balance or an imbalance, do you think?
I think it's a balance. It's so hard to make a distinction, like a clear-cut line, because you know, you're a whole person, you're moving somewhere new, to do something new, and I think it all sort of works together to just bolster you and make you feel grounded.
I think it's really all intertwined because for me, I think I'm having a situation where at the moment I'm comfortable with the support that I got institutionally, academically, work-wise. I'm still lacking the other balance, you know, I'm still working on the other balance socially. But at the end of the day, I think the holistic experience will, the ideal holistic experience will be a situation where all these feed into each other. Yeah, because another maybe aspect for me that I had to work on for a long time, also with the colleagues from the department supporting me, was the issue of housing, finding housing. Yeah, for me, I had a temporary housing at the student house, and then I had now supposed to find a flat. You know, and then I was introduced to online by the colleagues, these online platforms. Is it Philhaben?
Yeah, Philhaben.
I love Philhaben.
And then, I checked there and I was so excited because there were so many flats, so many apartments. I was like, wow, this really will be a very short thing. Yeah. And it took me half a year to really get confirmed a house. And I'm still yet to move to my new apartment.
Wow.
This week was my 1 year anniversary in Vienna.
Oh,
I'm
congratulations.
Still yet to move to my... Yeah, but with all that support, you see, but it's kind of like a social dimension that also kind of like really influence my academic and work life. Yeah.
I think I hope for you, I wish for you that when you do settle into your, you know, more permanent home, that you feel more of a sense of that social connection. Because I will say, Vienna does feel like a small town within your district, I think. And that was something that made me feel a lot more grounded socially as well, is that, I mean, I have a dog. I have a little dog, and I take her out, you know, in the square all the time. And being able to see the same faces and say hi to the same people and chat, you know, over morning coffee or a glass of wine at night in the square is such a beautiful feeling of community. And it's not necessarily, oh, this is friendship and this is such a great, but it's just another grounding feeling where you really feel like you have a neighborhood, you know the people around you, you know their routines, you know what they like to do, you know their kids, you know their dogs, you know their grandparents who visit. And there's something very nice about having like a secure and constant place. So I hope that sort of comes with this new beginning, with this new apartment.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that kind of perspective. Yeah, because where my apartment is located, there's really possibilities for that community kind of center vibe, and so I'm hoping for good things socially.
I'm hoping for that for you.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It's like also creating a sense of familiarity as well,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
It is. It's very grounding. Yeah. It's very calming just to know the area that you're going, you know, where the shops are. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about where you need to buy your food.
Both of you have also experienced the same institutional support in terms of works, in terms of dealing with the academic life, and probably we could dig in on how do you feel, how do you describe your relations with, let's say, supervisors?
For starters, how many supervisors do you have?
Okay, one for me. Yeah, for me, I've got one supervisor, and she's really played quite a, you know, supportive role. She's been also seconding several people, suggesting several people that I could engage with to find support for things that she could support me. She couldn't support me with. Yeah, because it's not only about the academic and second down. She is someone who has been worried about a lot of whether I stay, my flat is big enough, I stayed, you know, stuff like that, yeah. I've made friends, like I said, she was suggesting churches and whatnot, you know, where I could possibly find also social, you know, the social dimension of this. Yeah, but in terms of the academic journey together, I think we have had to find each other somehow. Yeah, to find each other first, I think it was kind of like differences between the education system that maybe was taken for granted, because I come from a different education system from Vienna, obviously. Even if I had an experience in Belgium, it's maybe a different education system, but also it was just 1 year masters, and the dynamics were kind of like very different, you know. So there are certain things that ended up bringing a bit of misunderstanding, because she expected that, okay, this is part of the process, this is part of that he should know, but I didn't know.
Okay.
You see, I expected that she would do certain things. She didn't do certain things because, you know. So when now I'm comparing myself and other students probably that were PhD countries that were doing this similar work that I do, their relationship with their supervisor, having had experience maybe of the system than myself. Yeah. So we had to do a lot of communication with my supervisor, and because at some point I felt like she should have maybe involved me more in some of the things that she was doing, and she was saying, okay, she was giving me more time to settle down, and, you know, so yeah. But at the end of the day, I feel like at the moment we kind of like have found each other somehow.
We've had similar experiences. It's very interesting. I think Well, my relationship with my supervisor is a lot more just like purely academic. I don't think that it's as sort of holistic life things that we're sort of dealing with together. I mean, you know, we chat and we know each other, sort of have a good boundary in terms of that. But I do think that the system is so different here from the system in the States. The system in the States is so top down. They will tell you, you need to do this, this, and this by this date. You need to turn it in. You'll get a grade out of 100, you know, A, B, C, D, and that's it. And it's very clear cut. It's very simple. And here, it's so, you know, it's just so sort of, it's on your own time. It's what, how do you want to do it? What do you want to do? And sometimes I'm like, tell me what to do. I knew that. And it's like, that's not what they do here. And so I think at first I felt very like, you know, at first you think, oh, I'm getting away with it. Ooh, I didn't do anything this week. Ooh, and then you think, no, I have to be the one to say that I have to do something every single day. You have to wake up. You have to do something that contributes to moving forward. And I think that it's so focused on self-motivation. And in terms of an advisor, like the advisor, I would think of an advisor as somebody who might, you know, give me deadlines, give me dates, do things like that. And instead, it's sort of like a guru. You go, you know, okay, I've been on this path and then I found this issue and then now I'm coming to you. And you might be met with, you know, okay, what do you think? What do you think you should do? And then let's talk about that. So I think that there's so much building of self-reliance. And I do think it's intentional, and I do think that it will serve me very well in terms of the future. I think that even if you have self-reliance in other areas of life, if you have it, you know, vis-a-vis your own personal life, you know, living alone and cooking and cleaning and doing those things, or even in work life, that it can be such a wild and jarring experience to have it in academia when you are so used to being told what to do. And it's so clear cut when you're told what to do. It's so easy. Yeah. Like, okay, yes, I'll do that. That's fine. And I think this has been a wild sort of ride in terms of settling into that and accepting it and then finding all of the positives in it. Okay, you know, if I feel this like sudden spurt of creative energy and I want to really focus on this and work on this, or I want to go to this conference, or I want to go to this thing, you can do that. And there's nobody stopping you. There's no one telling you, oh, no, you're not ready, or you have to do this first, or, oh, I wasn't thinking about that for you. It's support, and it's support in such a different way. And it was really great because they really encouraged adding an advisor. And I really wasn't thinking about that at first. I loved that I was working with a woman. I loved that I was working with an American. I loved that I was working with somebody who had a background in both history and tech. And I really wasn't considering a second advisor. And the advice that I got was very specific to my topic, which is about open source intelligence in academic writing, specifically in contemporary history. And Tara and I both have our backgrounds in medieval history and in much earlier times. And so I actually added a second advisor who specifically is there to consult about matters having to do with contemporary history only. And I think the sort of thought process and the discussion and being so open about the boundaries that exist between the different advisors has also helped to make that transition easier of adding somebody else in, because now I just got used to the style and how we're doing things and being self-motivated and, you know, keeping to my own timelines. And now adding in someone else, I think that it actually happened very smoothly because of the very clear boundaries and the communication, and just setting expectations and everybody sort of agreeing to those and saying, okay, this is the paradigm that we're all going to operate within. And committing to it. I think it's gone really well.
That's really interesting. So, like, do you have a very similar dynamic between your first supervisor and your second supervisor, or is it a different dynamic?
It's so different.
Okay, how does it work?
It's so different. Also, I mean, so my first advisor, my primary advisor, is another American woman. You know, it's very easy to talk to, very easy to talk to. And then, you know, I've been in one way or another speaking with Tara, my supervisor, for like 4 years now, because I reached out before the whole 18-month nightmare process of my residency. And so I feel very, very comfortable with her. we have good boundaries, you know, we mostly talk about work things, but she's very easy to talk to, very easy to communicate with in that regard. But it is a little bit more formal with my second advisor because I only just met him. And, you know, there are some cultural differences and things like that. But I think that it's because they also serve very different purposes, it's a very different dynamic as well. So it's only, you know, if I have a question specifically about something that has to do with the aspect of methodologies with contemporary history, I go there. And for everything else, I go to Tara. So it's just such a different, you know, it's apples and oranges.
How interesting. Very interesting. So the dreaded question of funding, I suppose, we must come to.
Yeah, because both of them are working.
We're both working in the university, but, you know, in different capacities, aren't you? And one of you is funded and one of you is not funded. Is that correct? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're contracted.
Am I the funded one?
Yeah. Okay. Lucky you.
Okay. Yeah. From my side, that has been, I think, the easy part. Not easy, but more convenient way aspect about my being here. Yeah. I wouldn't have come otherwise. Anyway, I couldn't have, raised all the funding. So, the fact that I'm working and I have got a salary coming to me every month, that really helps a lot. For me, it's something that is, I have to pay, I think, the student...
Student union
only. That's what I have to pay. And also because when I arrived, I also wanted to do a language course, which, I'm still working on. I did an intensive course, which the department funded. I've traveled since back home, which is also my field work, which was also funded in cooperation with the university, with the department. So, which is very, So that part really, that part is really very helpful for me. Yeah, it makes life here very helpful. Yeah, very convenient.
And you, Emily.
I wish it was like that. It's not like that for me. I actually, to be honest, I had some confusion in the very beginning. And I, you know, in the States, your PhD is funded. And I just...
Well, all of them.
As far as I know, everybody that I've spoken to, all the interactions that I've had, you know, it's a very... I thought there would be some sort of stipend. I asked and some friends here told me, oh, yeah, we all get stipends. We all get, you know, these stipends. And I thought, okay, great. I'll get one. And that's great. And I applied. And in the States, you know, when you apply to be accepted at the university and to accepted, you know, to these things. And I mean, it sounds so silly now knowing what I know about the university and how it works. But I, dead serious, I thought that I was going to be funded, or I was at least going to have some sort of stipend. And not only did I not get that, then I got a bill. So that more than the student union fees. I definitely, you know, it was shocking. It was shocking. But I got, I got here and then I started talking with my advisor. We talked about different funding opportunities. I think my advisor had some better ideas. I did ask the university and they had awful ideas. They told me to work in a coffee shop. They told me this or that. And I was like, no, I mean like getting involved here, getting involved doing something here. And they just, you know, I will say on that front, I did not get good advice. I ended up sort of taking on a few different odd jobs at the university that just worked with my background. I managed the website and redesigned, you know, the digital humanities website. And, I run the social media and I do a lot of the communications and outreach over email and things like that. So I definitely sort of slowly started absorbing all of these different, responsibilities within the department, which I do think not only did help because they were paid in some way, but also helped to make me feel more part of the university. And then I became involved with, it's called Daria Campus, and it's basically like bringing sort of the courses that happen in person in digital humanities at the University of Vienna online. And so that also is a funded position as well. But, you know, it's the funding expires and it expires fast. So it's not this sort of comfortable feeling of being able to say, okay, I have 4 or 5 years of funding and I can relax because I have a job. It's more, you know, trying to just do what I can to help out around the university, see if there's any opportunities that come up, see if I'm a right fit for them, and then take them on. And that certainly helps keep the lights on and do things like that. But yes, I did not have such a smooth transition in terms of being hired at the university. It was more just applying and then attending.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, like, looking after oneself is important and things like that. And maybe we can touch on that in a minute. Yeah. But, like, I was also wondering, you know, finding our own support is useful, but what support do you guys offer, like, to your colleagues, to other people, like, just doing things like this, like the podcast?
Like, academically?
Just in your everyday life or academically?
Mm-hmm.
If any.
You make us sound like monsters talking about all the support we get.
Sorry, sarcasm wasn't coming on strongly enough.
For me, in terms of giving other people support, it starts with also my job. My job, I also have to do some administrative support in the department, take tasks and whatever. So I'm also part of this budding committee that we're trying to institutionalize, to respond to certain issues with the students, call it the diversity group. A working group trying to deal with the different aspects of discrimination within the student body, but also within the staff. So it's really at a very early phase. So we're writing a lot, researching a lot, benchmarking a lot. And then the other thing that I managed to find, I think, some platforms that were kind of like discussing some topics that I find interesting on development. Occasionally go to the VIDC. So I go there, they talk about development. They've got engagement with some organization that work in Africa, in Latin America, and some other parts of the world on different aspects of development. So I was once invited there to be part of the panel talking about decolonizing development. And then from there, I also met some other networks. I met an organization that deals with the representation of African people and Africa within the education system of Vienna. So this group, what they do, they go to different schools, they workshop staff and students about the representation of Africa and Africans, but also they interrogate the books and deconstruct some of the narratives in the books and some of the depictions there of Africa and try and get them updated somehow, you know. So I've engaged in a workshop with them and in the college where they train teachers here. So that was one of the things that I was doing. My part there was really to try and look at the African history, how it has evolved and, you know, even pre-colonial times and now how things and different dynamics are, you know, evolving that side. But also, I'm also in touch with the African department where the also organize talks about Africa, but also recently they've had this colleague from Zimbabwe who came there, who joined the department as a postdoc. So my job was to assist him as I was assisted to try and get him here, give him all the information. And even this last week, we're at the for the residence permit and also assisting him with the transport, the annual cards and all the other things, the social stuff. So that's what I also do in addition to just going and reading books.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about how important these different institutional opportunities were for me. And I know I've said it now, this is my third time, about how I was sort of personally reached out to and personally included in a lot of these things that have been very transformative for me. And so I've tried in turn to do the same. So within my department, because I'm now, you know, having these department meetings, there are some people, now I'm not the baby anymore of my department. There are people who have come after me. And I've been, you know, really excited to tell them about the experiences that I've had and what's helped me, what's been helpful, what hasn't been helpful. And then reaching out and connecting people and putting them together and saying, hey, you know, you should really do this workshop. You should really get involved in this thing over here or over there. Or, oh, this is a really amazing experience to have. And you can meet new people by going here. And being able to put people in contact with one another, make connections, and really tell people from a place of experience and from a place, you know, of really wanting to help and really wanting to help them to sort of faster transition to that moment when they feel like part of the community. I've really tried to do that quite a lot. And in terms of support, you know, it's really fun because when people are in this sort of, you know, higher education field, they have events. They have things going on. Mm. There are people, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk about my paper at this event. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm there. I'm there with flowers. I'm there. I'm dressed up. I'm healed. I'm ready. And I'm ready to support my friends doing it. You know, I love it. I think it's so nice. And it's so cool. You get to see your friends shine. Mm. You get to see people that you know on one level just get up there and just soar. And it is so cool. And it means a lot. It always means a lot to people to see a face, a supportive face, to see somebody who took time out of their day, who wanted to come and say, I support you. I'm proud of you. I listen to you. I love what you do. I'm interested in what you do. And what you do is so valuable because we do. We work on these super obscure things, you know, and then sometimes it can feel so niche. And it's really nice to be able to share in that. And I mean, I know that you spoke a bit about, you know, helping your community as well. So I am a Jewish student, and it's been very interesting over the past few months to really hear from the students that I have within my course. And for a while, a lot of them were saying that they, you know, were feeling unsafe. They were feeling, you know, really nervous about coming to campus and being able to sort of step up from the instructor side, from the staff side, and be able to advocate and make sure that everyone's aware of the community resources, of the university campus resources that are available, going and speaking at different meetings and making sure that people are aware. Because I think sometimes with a large university like this and with so many different sort of factions and you know, standard, you know, recurring meetings and things like that, it's hard to sort of get all the information throughout all the channels. So it's something that I've been trying to do is make sure that the instructors that are there know. And it's was fascinating because I recently spoke at a meeting for my department and I had all of these professors and instructors coming up to me after saying, I had a student who was afraid to come to class. I didn't even know that we had these resources. I didn't know that there was, you know, a campus security number that they could call, or I didn't know that there was, you know, anything that they could do, any resources that the school had allocated. Thank you so much. How did you find out about it? So I think that being able to, you know, if you're interested in something, if you're personally touched by something, to be able to educate yourself about it and then reach out and spread those support resources to others, I think can be a very powerful thing when you're dealing with this sort of giant network of the institution. It can be really powerful.
Well, very interesting on how both of you try to do some support also to other people. Meanwhile, you also get the support. Well, I also highlight something very similar between both of your experience when facing cultural shock. When here you have to be independent, you have to be doing it on your own. Do you have any experience on doing self-motivations or routines?
Yeah, for me, not very much. Apart from the Netflix. Not very much. Well, outside of the online system, because, you know, one thing that I've realized also, not only by being here, is that, but also by being in other contexts, yeah, away from home, is that the more away from home I am, the more interested and engaged I want to be with issues happening at home. You know, at home, one of the things that I'm very pertinent is the politics, yeah? We haven't really gotten it right. So there's a lot of activism online, spaces and whatnot, on Twitter that people, you know, get on. So I participate actively on that. The morning when I go to home, going to work, I'm listening to a space. Sometimes I contribute about, you know, different developments that are happening there. In that, it keeps me feeling that I'm connected somehow, yeah. But in terms of maybe something that I do, I occasionally just walk around, explore the city. That's what I do when I'm really feeling, you know, a little bit thing. Yeah, just walk out.
I completely agree. I'm a walker too. I love walking around. It's so much fun. I mean, we live in the I think the most beautiful city on the planet. You know, the architecture is so beautiful, and I will say that, you know, I was very motivated and very driven to be in Vienna specifically. And a huge portion of that was because of the quality of life, because of the access to nature, because of the access to culture, because of the incredible architecture like we spoke about. And so what I've tried to do for myself in creating routines is to make sure that, you know, every Saturday I'm having matcha, I'm at the antiques market, I'm browsing, I'm looking through all the little trinkets and all the little things. You know, every Sunday I'm on a hike with my dog and I'm out, you know, in the mountains and enjoying, you know, the beautiful nature that we have here and appreciating the seasons. So I think for myself, creating these routines that really celebrate everything that's so special about Vienna, because I'm not just here for the PhD. I'm here because I love this city. I love the country. I love the people. I love the food. I love the nature. And, you know, my friends make fun of me because I'm so excited to be here, but I don't want to lose that. So for me, it's making these routines that I stick to for myself and, you know, for my lifestyle. And so that I don't just fall into the trap of, okay, I'm scrolling on TikTok and, you know, having a Diet Coke. I could be anywhere. I try to get out there. I try to do things that are Vienna specific so that I can celebrate being here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably we're almost going to the end. And
I think, we need to wrap up.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And we'll give a short question and you must give a short answer. From all of those support, which one is the most valuable for you? Emily.
Institutional.
Max?
Institutional.
Well, so we have both institutional support.
Unanimous.
And probably more new coming PhD should also have the same experience on it.
I would recommend.
Yeah. We have this last question also. What would you suggest for new PhD student of how to find the support?
Get involved. Find a person, a personal connection in the institution. Let them know what you like. Let them know what you're good at. Let them know what you're interested in. Let them know what you're not good at. And they'll help you.
Suggestion, Max.
Yeah, the same, really. Reach out, reach out, if you find people within your department or, you know, friends and family that would like to, you know, introduce you to new experiences that you may not maybe even know, or, you know, reach out, be willing, be open for new experiences.
This was episode 14 of Doctorate. It was produced by Penelope Faithful, Christian Lendl, Martin Pocconi, and Aditya Sudago. Editing and everything technical was done by Christian Lendl, and the hosting was done by me, Penelope Faithful, and Aditya Sudago.
Doctorate, brought to you by Doctoral School of Historical and Cultural Studies and the Vienna Doctoral School of Social Science. It is brought to you by the School Fellows.